So this year we're talking about connecting to God and one another, and in this season we're talking about connecting to God and listening to the voice of God within us. We've already talked about several things, and we're in the midst of Lent, and so I thought, well, maybe we'll get out of Lent without having to talk about sin, but I got the sin chapter. We can't get out of Lent without it. It's hard stuff sometimes. It's hard in Lent to really listen to that voice of God within us, those voices that tell us about ways that we create disconnection and how we can help to create connection when we truly listen to what God is saying to us. And so today we think about trying to hide from God. Grab onto that for a second. Today we're talking about trying to hide from God. We're going to hear a little passage from the book of Isaiah. It's about a people, not one, but a people, like that little gang, about a people who tried to hide from God. And then we're going to hear in a few minutes the story of Peter. Now we're going to meet Peter again in Holy Week in a few weeks, but today we're going to meet Peter as he says, "Not me," as he tries to hide from God. We start with the Isaiah passage.
I guess I'm a good example of this because I certainly have heard many of these things from God in my life. Reading from Isaiah. "You felt secure in your wickedness. You said, 'No one sees me.' Your wisdom and your knowledge led you astray. And you said in your heart, 'I am, and there is no one besides me.' But evil shall come upon you, which you cannot charm away. Disaster shall fall upon you, which you will not be able to ward off. And ruin shall come on you suddenly, of which you know nothing." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, 'You also were with Jesus the Galilean.' But he denied it before all of them, saying, 'I do not know what you're talking about, not me.' When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' Again, he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man, not me.' After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, 'Certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you.' Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, 'I do not know the man.' At that moment, the cock crowed, and then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, 'Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." The word of God for the people of God.
So a few months ago, we needed a new dishwasher. And with the help of Handy Hands, we got one. And afterwards, we had a box. And I said to Art, "Well, why don't we just keep that box and we'll let our little foster grandbaby play in it, in the box." And so the next time he came over, we'd get the box out and we set it in our family room and we said, "H, go ahead and get in the box. You can play in your box." And he climbed in the box. And he thought he was hiding from us when he was in the box. Even though, like my feet right here, he was laying in the box and his feet were kind of hanging out. And then Art cut a hole in the side. Hi. Hi. And there was no way that he was not going to be found. Even though he tried to hide in the box, he was found. The scheme was up, and he couldn't really hide in the box any longer. We'll see now.
Ta-da!
So Sometimes we try to hide from God and from one another. This was not true for the baby because he was just playing in there. He thought he was playing hide and seek, but sometimes we try to hide from God and from ourselves when we know we've done or said something wrong. I even debated about using that word wrong when I was writing this in the last few days, but I think that actually we know when we have done or said something wrong. Or when we have participated in or been part of something that we discover is wrong, like the little gang of puppets. Either when we do something or say something, or we discover we have participated in something that has turned out to be wrong. What makes things wrong? Well, there are things that harm others. Now, I'm not just talking about physically, because we get that. We know about hitting and, you know, all that, all the kinds of physical things that can harm people. But what about the other things that harm others, like when we exclude or wound someone by our words and our actions, or do things that intentionally separate people one from another, disconnecting people one from another? Other things that become wrong are things that we harm, the ways that we harm ourselves. Now, we also get not harming ourselves physically, although some of us keep eating too much and the wrong foods and things like that. But we get about not harming ourselves physically. But I'm talking here about negative self-talk about our worthlessness. Other things that we do to harm ourselves. And we know about participating in things that create harm for others or ourselves. Sometimes that's because we get all caught up in something. Hopefully that only happens when we're children or teenagers or, you know, we're really learning. But too often I have seen adults get caught up in something that ends up harming themselves or others. Here's why that's wrong. It denies who we are as children of God. It disconnects us and separates us from God and from one another. This is kind of hard stuff, isn't it? Why do we do or say or even think things that are harmful to ourselves and others? Most of the time, it's because we get afraid. Afraid of. You fill in the blank. You think about it. You think about ways that we harm ourselves or other people, and it's because we are afraid. Or sometimes we get angry about. We get angry about such and such a thing. I can go on all day about things that we are afraid of or angry about. Sometimes it's just that we're very caught up in ourselves. We are self-centered. It is the story of the Bible. It is the story of Adam and Eve with the tree in the center of the garden. It's not metaphorical that the tree is in the center of the garden. It's because they put themselves into the center of things. And sometimes it's because we allow things to seep in, negativity or hatred or even feelings of vengeance. Really, truly, truly, most of this goes back to being fearful and angry. And that is Peter's story. You know, Peter had followed Jesus pretty faithfully. He sat at Jesus' feet. He learned. He healed alongside Jesus. He had given up everything to be a faithful follower of Jesus. And now this? Jesus had told him that it would come to this, that Jesus would be captured and suffer. And he even told Peter that he would deny him. And what did Peter say when Jesus said that? Oh, no, not me, Lord, not me. But the thing is that Jesus understands how we are as humans. God knows, but this is part of why Jesus became human and lived among us, so he could know us and we could know him. Jesus knows our weaknesses. He knows how quickly we become fearful and angry and draw into ourselves and fail to see the needs of others. And then he knows how we try to hide from God, thinking that God doesn't know. like feet hanging out of the box. Surely I'm hiding from God. Surely just because God can see my feet doesn't mean God knows. Jesus' whole ministry was about drawing us out of these things. And yet he knows everything about who we are. Now it has come to this for Peter. Jesus is captured and before the high priest Caiaphas, Peter has followed Jesus in the background to the home of the high priest. It is late at night, probably almost approaching morning, and it is cold. Peter stands around a campfire in the courtyard of the high priest, wondering what is happening to Jesus and where he is. And then we see, now we just visited this a couple of weeks ago, the church that is called St. Peter in Gallicanto. It's on a hillside on Mount Zion. It's really on a cliff over where the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, is. The path leads up from the Kidron Valley, and this is the ancient courtyard of the house of the high priest Caiaphas. Probably the very place where Peter was that night, because suddenly Peter is standing outside the courtyard and a servant girl comes up to him and says, "You also were with Jesus, the Galilean." And fear wells up in him. And he denies it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." He finds himself out of fear denying who he is. And in this account in the story in Matthew, he goes out to the porch and another servant girl sees him and she says to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denies it with an oath. "I do not know the man." Peter denies Jesus again and again. He tries to hide like in the box. After a little while, bystanders come up and say to Peter, "Certainly you're also one of them, for your accent betrays you." And then we're told Peter begins to curse. And he swears an oath, "I do not know the man." It is as if fear overtakes all the better parts of him. And maybe even some anger at Jesus for getting him in this spot after all. He tried to faithfully follow him after all. And then there is a statue in the very spot. "Non novi illum, I do not know the man," says Peter. Already something in him knows that what he has said and done is wrong and has separated him from the one who has loved him so much. And in spite of himself, and then at that moment, the cock crows. Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke says that Jesus turned and looked at him. It's the only one of the four Gospels that tells us that little detail. Jesus, there in the courtyard, being taken from one spot to another, turns and looks at Peter, and suddenly Peter remembers who he is. I like to think that at that moment, the Spirit of Jesus came upon him, and he no longer was overcome by his fear and his anger, and he knew his sin. And the Spirit of Jesus cleared his head and his heart, and he knew somehow there would be consequences of his actions, but that Jesus was with him anyway, which turned out to be true. Even in that moment, Jesus' Spirit is forging the connection again, drawing Peter close in the very midst of his sin. John Wesley will later call this prevenient grace, God pursuing us in love even before we know it or are ready to turn to him. And then we are told that Peter remembered what Jesus had said before the cock crows, "You will deny me three times." And Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. He is terribly sorry for not trusting Jesus, for letting his own fears and angers determine his words and his actions. And there we are. We remember Peter. We don't build a statue and put a church to somebody that we want to forget. He is like us, and we are like him. We pause here in the story, in this season of Lent, and think for a few minutes about ourselves. What words and actions have disconnected us from others, perhaps from ourselves, perhaps from God. How have we participated or been part of things in our world that do the same? How have we let ourselves get sucked into negativity or even hatred of others? How have we been led by fear or anger and denied who we are as followers of Jesus, separating us, disconnecting us from God and one another, and then perhaps tried to hide it all from God? And then even now, even in this moment, how is Jesus reaching into our hearts and calling us back to him? We stop for a moment to repent, to see who we are and where we need to change, and with Peter, see ourselves and perhaps weep bitterly over what we have said and done. I want to share with you just a moment of a piece of my story. Years ago, you know, Art and I have been married a long time, and years ago, many years ago, we hit a rough patch. You know, that happens, doesn't it? It happens in relationships. We hit a rough patch, and I spent several months yelling and angry at him. Really. I mean, we'd go to therapy, and I'd yell at him. I'd yell at him at home. I turned from him. I was distant from him. I refused to acknowledge my part in what was going on between us. And this went on for some time until finally a friend said to me, she said to me, "When are you going to lay down your sword?" And it was as if the power and presence of Christ entered into my heart and my life at that moment. It was as if the power of Christ Jesus was saying, "Enough, enough." And my life began to turn, and we began to make progress when I was willing to say, "I am sorry." When I was willing to repent and see who I was and how I was contributing to being disconnected from the one I love and from the God who loves me. It is always good for us to remember the whole story of Jesus and Peter, because in spite of Peter's denial of Jesus, Jesus will not let him go. The story of Peter's denial is in all four Gospels, and that tells us it's really an important story. In spite of that story of denial, Jesus will not let him go. After the resurrection, Jesus appears to Peter on the beach on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where they have been fishing. And he asks him three times in an act of redeeming love. He turns Peter's denial into a commitment to love him and give Peter the chance to love and serve him. "Do you love me?" he says to Peter three times. And three times Peter says to him, "You know I do." And Peter becomes the rock on whom the church of Jesus Christ is built. It's an amazing story, really, isn't it? For us, in this season of Lent, we have the chance to repent, to name what has been said or done first to God and then to others if we need to. We have the chance to turn, to change. We're going to say more about this next week. We get a chance to say it out loud to God and to one another. "I will not do this," or "I will do this." And we may fail again and again. We don't intend to. We intend to do our best, but we are human, and Jesus knows that. And Jesus will not let us go. We can deny him with our words and our actions and try to hide from him in a box, and Jesus will come for us. He will come for us. He is coming for us even now. All we need to do is listen and reconnect and return to who we are. Amen.